Hazy circles of light overlap. Their colors and sizes varied. Focus features a Comcast company. The O in focus is blurred. In a brightly colored animation, a woman in a red dress rides a bike near a shoreline. A small dog follows. June Pictures. A blinking cursor types out letters. B story. Titles appear over black. Focus Features presents in association with June Pictures. A June Pictures B-Story production. In association with Big Indie Pictures. In a dark stable, a teenage girl with brown wavy hair stares at a horse. She breathes deeply as she holds her fixed stare on the animal. She inches closer and gently brings her hands to the horse's face. Cut to black. Kneeling by a bench, the teenage girl reaches into a backpack. She removes a small knife and sets it down, then stands. Cut to black. A title appears, Thoroughbreds. Daytime. At a lavish estate, a car travels up the long driveway to a brick mansion. The car comes to a stop near the front entrance of the stately building, and someone steps out. The vehicle leaves, revealing the wavy-haired brunette gazing at the ivy-covered home. She wears a jacket over her simple dress and her backpack slung on one shoulder. Inside, the teenager takes off her sunglasses as she steps into a marble foyer. A middle-aged woman steps away.
Wait here. Lily!
The teenager looks around the room with a blank expression. She walks to a set of open doors and gazes at the expanse of water beyond the yard. A maintenance worker nods to her as he passes outside. The teen girl enters the adjoining room where a photo shows a family of three. She glances out the window. She steps to a large framed photo of a smiling young girl on a white horse. Glancing at a mirror, the brunette teenager smiles at her reflection. Her grin fades, and she resumes her blank expression. She looks back at the framed portrait before walking to a hallway. She stops beside a carpeted staircase and picks up an envelope resting on the wooden railing. The front reads, Lily. She glances over her shoulder before lifting a wad of money out of the envelope. The brunette flips through the bills and puts them back.
Lily!
She places the envelope back on the railing and approaches another room. Soft lamplight illuminates the white furniture with red trim, and a large harp sits near the window. The brunette teenager steps down a small flight of stairs into an opulent office. A small statue on a pedestal stands by the window. The teenager sets her brown backpack on the floor and kneels down before the desk. She regards a framed photo of a middle-aged man lying beside a hunted lion. Another photo shows the man posing with a long sword. The teenager stands and spots a sword hanging above a fireplace. Moving a chair, she climbs up and reaches for it. She pulls it slightly from the sheath. Wearing a posh white blouse and her hair in a ponytail, a dark-haired teenager enters. She holds a notebook and book.
Hi, Lily. Hi. I'm sorry, you just...
Is it your sword?
Lily's smile fades.
No. It's my stepdad's.
You look different.
Yeah?
You look good.
Thanks. So do you.
The brunette teenager stares with a hint of a smirk.
Well, okay. Should we get started?
Words appear over black. Chapter 1. In a dining room.
Despite his lack of experience in the field, Jared's contributions to the project were spectral.
And does that make sense?
Is Jared a ghost?
No.
How do you know? It doesn't say he's not a ghost.
So the answer is B, significant.
This test is intolerable.
You're doing great.
I'm better at applied skills. I have business savvy.
Totally.
I think my best option at this point would be to skip college and just sort of Steve Jobs my way through life.
That's an idea.
You're good at this, though. Better than my actual tutor. How much are you charging?
What are you talking about? I'm not charging you. We're hanging out.
The brunette nods as she stares at Lily.
Okay, so moving on to passage comprehension. Do you want to read or should I?
You start.
Okay. From Paul Revere to the Marlboro Man, one image has maintained a firm hold on the American imagination.
We glimpse the word horse.
As opposed to notions of liberty as any flag or eagle, the horse... You know what? Actually, this is longer than we need. Let's do a short one.
Lily spots the brunette staring.
Do you have any food here?
In the kitchen, the brunette teenager eats a snack.
So, yeah. I'm lucky to be at a school that values learning outside of the classroom.
You just finished all your classwork early?
Yeah.
Was it hard?
No. Trying to wrap my head around mutual funds and credit swaps was the hard part.
The brunette teenager picks at her teeth as she stares at Lily, then checks her finger.
Anyway. Shall we?
She starts cleaning up.
Leave it.
The brunette slowly follows Lily. As she leaves the kitchen, the cleaning woman takes away the snack bag. The teenager glances back.
I'm sorry if I acted funny about that passage.
It's only weird if you make it weird.
Well, I just figured you might not want to talk about it.
Why?
Well, I guess you're feeling a lot of feelings. Right now, it's fresh.
Well, that's a funny thing, actually. I really don't.
Don't what?
Feel anything.
Like you're numb. Like you don't have any negative feelings.
Like I don't have any feelings, ever.
Lily's grin fades.
Sure you do.
I mean, sometimes I feel hungry. Or tired, but like joy, guilt, I really don't have any of those.
I don't understand.
Yeah, it's hard to explain. It's really only recently that I've been able to admit it to myself. Because I've gotten so good at watching and imitating other people's emotions that I sort of trick myself into believing I have them, but I don't.
So that's
A what?
A disorder or something?
Well. The shrink would sure like it to be. First, it was borderline personality, then severe depression. Yesterday, she said it was antisocial with schizoid tendencies. She's basically just flipping to random pages of the DSM-5 and throwing medications at me.
The brunette sharpens a pencil.
But I have a perfectly healthy brain. It just doesn't contain feelings. And that doesn't necessarily make me a bad person. Just means I have to work a little harder than everyone else to be good.
Lily wears a shocked expression.
Oh.
She startles.
2 hours?
Yeah.
Glad you set an alarm to make sure we didn't hang out longer than intended.
Oh, no. I mean, I have this thing with my mom.
You know, I have my mom's email password.
Sorry.
It means I read her inbox daily. I saw your thread with her. She had to bump up from 100 to 200 an hour to get you to do this.
Lily glances away with an embarrassed look.
Just next time, don't say you're not charging.
The brunette teenager starts to leave. She stops in the doorway.
She was desperate to set up a playdate, by the way. She's been trying for 2 weeks. You could have gotten 500 out of her if you'd stood pat.
She leaves. In her bedroom, the brunette teen stares blankly at her laptop. A desk lamp illuminates the otherwise dark room. The brunette eats some food. Her computer screen shows a digital poker game. The brunette's avatar features the silhouette of a chess knight piece. She clicks the option for all in, and the last remaining player folds. The screen reads $180. Chewing her food, she stares dully at the laptop. Daytime. A close view shows Lily playing with her necklace.
But the America I found when I got off the plane was nothing like Mother's stories. Cars stood in lines along ill-maintained highways, and gangs of slump-shouldered men tossed dice in alleyways. I didn't know whether to feel betrayed by my mother or to feel grief that, even as imperfect as this new land might be, she wasn't here to see it. Okay, so how would you summarize that passage?
Bad.
Not evaluate, just summarize.
You make the arrangement by phone this time?
What are you talking about?
No email with my mom about payment.
I'm not getting paid this time. I don't want payment.
What do you want?
Nothing. I just wanted to see you.
The brunette knits her brow.
Lily, I'm gonna go ride. You mind telling your mother?
A man looks in at the teens.
Amanda, this is Mark. Mark, this is Amanda.
She nods.
Nice to meet you.
Yeah.
Did you need something?
He lifts his sunglasses.
No.
Okay.
Mark gives a thumbs up.
Okay.
Holding a bike helmet, he leaves. Amanda eyes Lily, who watches the man go.
Okay, so question 9. The author's attitude towards her mother's jade box can be primarily described as...
Wow.
Lily looks up at Amanda.
Wow. What?
You hate him.
So it's A, solemn, B, contemptuous.
You despise him.
No, we have our differences, but I'm trying very hard to have a pleasant and mature relationship with him. Mm. So C, sardonic, D, ambivalent.
Because he's rich?
Excuse me?
Because he leaves you envelopes of money.
Okay, that was for my broken laptop. He doesn't just leave me envelopes of money.
Okay, but you and your mom must still know that it's in your best interest to keep him.
Okay,
out.
Actually, I think we're done here.
What's wrong?
I don't know.
Lily leaves the room.
I just think you should be honest about your feelings. Otherwise, it starts coming out in passive-aggressive ways. Like, for instance, you start inviting your creepy friend over to make him mad.
Not while you're here.
Of course it is.
Well, if that's how you feel, then why don't you go ask your mom to buy you another friend? I'm sure you're just rolling in options.
Amanda stares at her with a blank expression.
The answer is D. Ambivalent.
That's right.
Yeah, my friend taught me this trick where whenever it says ambivalent on the SAT, that's the answer.
You're not hurt.
It's the first honest thing you've said to me since sixth grade.
Lily regards Amanda with a serious expression and takes a deep breath.
You're incredibly off-putting and you freak me out.
There you go.
In kind of a fascinating way. Like a YouTube video of a giant zit being popped or a baby born without a face.
Love those videos.
You actually smell kind of weird.
Really?
Yeah. Have you showered?
Only every couple of days lately, but no one said anything, so I thought I was getting away with it.
You're not.
Not sorry I tried.
Lily grins.
How's that feel?
Really good.
Seems like it.
Well, we should actually probably get back to work.
Amanda leans in and Lily recoils.
Sorry.
Nope. Sorry, that was just sudden. It looked like an attack.
No, I was trying.
Right.
Raising their arms, the teenagers slowly hug. Amanda puts her hands on Lily's back. Lily tentatively lowers her head, bringing her chin to rest on Amanda's shoulder. Her eyes shift. Amanda gazes off. She pats her friend's back. A view from the front yard shows a large suburban house. Wrapped in a towel and wearing another on her head, Amanda stands before a mirror. With her head bowed, she keeps her eyes closed and presses the fabric to her face. The teenager looks up and regards her reflection. She leans to the side, dropping the towel from her head. Releasing the one around her shoulders, she reveals another towel wrapped around her torso. Using her fingers, she brushes her damp, wavy hair behind her ears, then pulls it into a ponytail. Amanda poses and practices smiling with bright, wide, open eyes. She musses her wet hair and lets it hang over her face, then leaves. A TV shows a black and white movie where a man tries to kiss a woman.
Come here.
Why do you do this to me, Frank?
Yikes.
Why can't you be honest with me? As honest as I am.
It's the worst fake crying I've ever seen.
Do you have to go?
I have to go, Paul. I know.
She's
all right, go. Trying. Go anywhere you like. You can go to Blazes for all I care.
Paula.
The two teenagers sit in Lily's living room.
Look, that's better.
Yes, I know. I'm being foolish.
Actually, that might not even be fake.
It is.
No, look, those are real tears.
She's just using the technique.
The what?
With her hair styled down, Lily glances at Amanda, who stares at the screen.
I mean, maybe she actually fell in love with the actor. And they're fucking between takes, and it's the last week of shooting, so she knows she has to return home to her loveless 1940s marriage, and
a tear rolls down Amanda's cheek. She faces Lily with a blank expression.
The technique.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
You can just do that on cue?
Years of practice.
Can you teach me?
Amanda pats the space between them. Lily moves closer and faces her.
So you basically have to learn all the automatic, like, processes that get triggered when you cry and then sort of manually generate each one. Feeds back to the brain and the tears just come naturally.
Lily knits her brow.
You finish boarding school by March. Don't act like this is confusing.
Okay. Where does it start?
Right here.
Amanda gently touches Lily's throat.
Tiny gulps of air.
Lily touches her own throat as they both practice.
It's like you're choking yourself. From the inside.
Mark steps to the living room unnoticed.
Is it working?
No.
The teenagers look over at him, then slide away from each other.
Hi, Mark.
Hi, Mark.
Where's your mother?
Some work party thing.
What work party thing?
I don't know. Some work party thing.
I know your mom worked.
Come talk to me upstairs, please.
Okay. After the next commercial break.
No.
I don't want to leave Amanda alone.
Amanda will be fine here alone.
I'm quite afraid of the dark.
Mark turns his gaze to the emotionless teen.
How long are you here, Amanda?
My mom's going to pick me up around midnight.
Midnight's late for us. Lily can give you a ride home now.
Two teens in one car at night.
That's an accident waiting to happen.
Yeah, I mean, we're always turning up the radio super loud.
Texting while driving.
I'll call your mom. She can come pick you up now.
She's busy.
Doing what?
Chemotherapy.
Amanda stares intensely. Mark swallows hard. He glances between the teenagers, then walks away.
Night.
Turning to Lily, Amanda shakes her head and wipes her cheek. Lily rolls her eyes and looks back to the TV. Amanda regards her.
You ever talk to your mom?
About what?
Him.
What would I even say?
The way he makes you feel. You think that'd matter to her?
You'd think.
They spot Mark in the kitchen behind them. He holds a bottle.
Just grabbing my juice.
Mark eyes them, then leaves. Lily turns back to the TV.
His juice?
It's a cleanse. 3 weeks out of the month, he pounds steak, and the last week, he juices exclusively.
Is that healthy?
I think you're only supposed to do it once a year. Hopefully, one of these days, he'll just juice himself to death.
They look toward the ceiling.
What's that?
The ergometer.
The what?
The ergometer. It's like a rowing machine. He's on that thing at all hours. I think it's a deliberate effort to make me lose my fucking mind. Come on. Let's go steal some of his wine.
Lily gets up. Later, Amanda stands at a bar counter next to an open doorway.
You ever think about just killing him?
Lily steps into the doorway and stares at Amanda.
I mean, no.
Could at least consider it.
Lily steps away.
No.
Just weigh the pros and cons.
No.
Why don't you consider all options?
Yeah, not like murder.
Yeah, sure, it's outside the box, but you can only get so far thinking how everyone else thinks.
Amanda goes behind the bar.
Look at Steve Jobs.
What?
I'm just going off what you're giving me. It's a cost-benefit analysis.
Lily stands in a wine cellar.
Seems like you could generate a lot of benefit for a lot of people.
Except I'd spend the rest of my life in jail.
Why are you assuming you'd get caught?
With a concerned look, Lily steps to the bar and sets down a bottle. Amanda opens it with a corkscrew.
I should not have to explain this.
Probably what people said to Columbus when he was like, I think the world is round instead of flat and surrounded by dragons. They were like, no, dumbass, we shouldn't have to explain this. It's probably what people said to Steve Jobs when he was like, this MP3 player is
okay.
Also a phone.
Can we please stop talking about Steve Jobs? Steve Jobs never fucking
murdered
someone.
I think most of this
someone.
Country's moral norms comes from weird old Puritan bullshit. Human life isn't some sacred thing. There's nothing holy about a dick and a vag getting together and spitting out a little dude. If that dude causes more bad than good, then it's like a, you know, piece of malfunctioning machinery.
Lily Morris.
Amanda drinks.
Right.
Should be taken out back and put down.
See, you get it.
You know what you sound like?
What?
A Nazi.
I had to leave school before we did World War II, but I think it was about race with them.
I think you should leave.
Why?
I just think you should.
I don't get it.
You don't have to.
Amanda furrows her brow at Lily's icy stare. She looks around.
You sure?
Lily backs away from the bar counter. Amanda glances down, then back to her friend. Ducking under the counter, she goes to the other side and faces Lily.
Okay.
She turns and walks away. Our view follows the wavy-haired teenager as she ascends a staircase. Turning a corner past a room, she climbs another set of stairs and crosses into a long marble hallway lined with artwork. Amanda glances to the side as she crosses to the door and leaves. Our view turns to the carpeted staircase and rises into the darkness. Daytime. In bed, Amanda stares upward with her phone lying on the pillow next to her. She looks at the device. With a blank expression, she looks back toward the ceiling. Her eyes shift slightly. Sitting up, Amanda opens her laptop. Horse figurines, trophies, and award ribbons decorate her room. Amanda reaches toward her phone. She holds it to her ear.
Intecline Capital Partners.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going fine, ma'am. How can I help you?
Yeah, I'm just calling about your internship program.
To my knowledge, we don't have an internship program.
What about Lily?
What about who?
Amanda hangs up and stares off in thought. Later, she paces with her phone.
Front desk.
Hi, this is Andover.
Yes, how can I help you?
This is Rhonda with Edible Arrangements. We just had an issue with a delivery and wanted to confirm a student mailing address. You do have a Lily Reynolds at the school. Would you like me to repeat the question?
She crosses to her bed and sits.
That student is actually...
Images of horses fill the wall beside her.
Hold on 1 minute. I'm going to transfer your call.
Okay.
Ma'am, what did you say your name was? Ma'am.
Lying back, Amanda puts down her phone. Nighttime. At home, Lily faces a mirror. She wears pearl earrings, a red outfit, and her hair styled up. The teenager carefully touches up her dark red lipstick. She lowers the tube of lipstick and gently rubs in the makeup. Regarding her reflection, she leans away. Her lips part slightly. Over black, words appear. Chapter 2. Lily strides down a dark hallway.
Mom?
As we follow behind her, she glances into a room with equipment sitting on the floor. She descends the steps. Lily looks down one end of the hallway, then glances into a room. She walks down the hall.
Lily!
She stops and stares off. Composing herself, Lily walks down a short flight of stairs to Mark's office. She stops in the doorway. Sitting at his desk, Mark paints a model airplane.
Don't yell in the house.
Sorry. Where's Mom?
Mark puts the paintbrush in his mouth and points down. Staring at Lily, he blows on the model plane. She leaves and he looks at his work. In a dark hallway, Lily approaches a room illuminated by a faint blue light. She steps into the large garage, passing work tables and a bicycle. Staring off, Lily slowly steps to a tanning bed. She raises the lid, finding a middle-aged blonde woman inside. The woman removes her protective eyewear.
Oh, hi.
What is this?
Oh, Mark put it in on Wednesday.
I need your car keys.
Sure, they're in my jeans. Which are somewhere. Well, by the way, I booked us a spa trip in 2 weeks. I hope you'll join me.
How long have you been in here?
Not long.
Her mother smiles.
Mark likes it when I have a little color.
Lily wears a stony expression.
I'm going out.
She closes the tanning bed cover and leaves.
Mm-hmm.
At a party, our view follows a teenage boy as he walks through a house. He passes Lily, who stands with a cluster of friends. She sips a drink, then stares off.
Turns out to be this crazy person. It's just fucking like, how could you do that? It's her own horse. Are you fucking kidding me? That's crazy. I mean, it must be really crazy for you because you guys were friends and everything. So it's like,
yeah, but like a million years ago. So
you need someone to, you know, talk to.
You've seen the pictures, right?
No.
Zach Friedrich's dad is part owner of the stable. He found the, like, the photos. His dad was sending them to their lawyer, so Zach sent them to Connor, and Connor obviously sent them
She's
to tell other people.
15, dude.
Yes, and that's plenty old enough to decide who she wants.
They join a group watching a scruffy young man and a teenager.
She's not my girlfriend, all right? She's my fucking sister.
All right, well, whatever she is an intelligent, like, being who can make up her own mind about the people she wants to hang out with. Am I wrong?
What the fuck is he even doing here?
Whoa, what the fuck am I even doing here? I am providing you all with early drug experiences that you will forever cherish. That's what the fuck I'm doing. And who the fuck are you?
You went to school with my cousin.
Okay, great. What's
this guy did fucking jail time. Statutory rape. He fucked someone our age when he was 25.
All right. I was 23, you gorilla-faced dumbass. Hey, put that fucking phone away. You know what? I refuse. Put the fucking phone away. I refuse to stand trial in front of this kangaroo court. Fuck.
The teen punches him.
Fuck you.
Fucking evil children. Oh, shit. Fucking children.
The man leaves. Later, Lily walks alone past parked cars on a long driveway. A few partiers mill about nearby. She turns toward more cars on a dark, tree-lined road, then slows her pace. Leaning on a vehicle, the scruffy young man licks a joint. He spots Lily.
Is this your car? Let me get out of your way. Unless, you want in on this?
No.
I see that glimmer. Don't be ashamed.
I'm good. Thanks.
I'm Tim.
I'll call the cops.
All right.
Tim pulls his hand away and steps to the side. Lily gets in her SUV.
You know, I saw you earlier in the night, back there, keeping to yourself.
He leans in her window.
Something is weighing on you. Let's talk it out.
No.
Come on. I'm a really good listener.
I really have to go.
Lily stares at Tim. He grins slightly.
Where'd you go to school?
I'm bored.
And it makes you miserable. It's like a glorified fucking prison.
She raises the window. Tim stops it with his finger. Lily stares at him.
You ever think about dropping out?
Why would I do that?
That's what I did. Followed my entrepreneurial instincts. It's the best decision I ever made.
Clearly.
He grins.
You know, the thing about this town is the sawdust smells fantastic. But you are still in a hamster cage. Meanwhile, out there, there are more billionaires under 30 than at any moment in human history.
Tim knocks on the closed window, but Lily ignores him.
It's our time, motherfucker.
Nodding, he stares at her. Lily avoids his gaze. He touches the window before walking away. Lily starts the engine. Daytime. Outside Lily's mansion, gardeners ride stand-on lawnmowers. In the dining room, Lily looks down at her lap. Across from her mother cuts into her food. She shares a faint smile with Mark, who sits with only a juice bottle and glass. Lily's phone shows messages from Amanda over several days. They read, "Hi, hi, hi," and "What's up?" Lily slowly looks up. Her mother and Mark watch her. Mark sips his juice. Lily drops her gaze again. At night, a close view shows half of Lily's face as she sleeps. Her eyelid flutters slightly. She opens her eye and stares ahead. Daytime. Outside Amanda's house, Lily exits her SUV and approaches the front door. A woman looks out.
Well, hello, you.
Hi.
The woman's smile falters.
Did she do something?
No. No, I'm just here to say hi.
Come on in. Come in. She's out back.
Amanda's mom and Lily walk through a living room to a set of glass doors. They stare out at the backyard, their smiles gone.
What's she doing out there?
Standing motionless, Amanda stares at trees.
I don't know.
Later, Lily and Amanda watch TV. Amanda eats a cookie. A large dog approaches and nudges Lily's leg.
Just hit him.
What?
Just hit him.
Setting her cookie on the couch, Amanda leans forward and pushes the dog away. She picks up her cookie, blows on it, and eats. Nighttime. In a pool, Amanda emerges from underwater.
25.
Oh, shit, it was 30.
Fine. 30.
Lily passes pool noodles to Amanda. She sinks below the surface and Amanda watches her. Treading water, Amanda stares downward. Below the surface, Lily floats calmly with her eyes closed. Her dark hair waves lightly in the water, and her eyelids flutter. She opens her eyes and glances up, then drops her gaze again. Her body tenses and her lips part. A large bubble rises from her mouth, and she reaches for her throat. As she struggles to breathe, Amanda swims down and pulls her to the surface. Lily dips slightly underwater and Amanda ushers her to the side of the pool. Later, Lily gazes absently at the water as she fiddles with her hair. Amanda swivels in a chair nearby.
Hey. So, that thing you said the other night?
Amanda stares blankly.
Which thing?
About Mark?
Yeah.
Well, you said something like, why are you assuming you'd get caught?
Uh-huh.
So, like, hypothetically, if you were going to do it.
Avoiding her friend's gaze, Lily lets go of her braided ponytail.
How would you do it?
Amanda stares at her.
I wouldn't do it.
She watches Lily intently.
That's what you want me to say.
Lily looks over.
I don't want you to say anything. Just asking.
Daytime. At home, Lily's mother reads a reapplication letter for fall semester. Lily sits across from her. Wearing a distant stare, she taps a pen on the table. Her mother sets down the letter.
I do think that you could be more honest.
Lily glances at her and stops tapping the pen. Her mother wears a concerned look as she reads the letter.
The mounting pressure of my coursework combined with the emotional toll of losing my father drove me to confuse the thin line between research and plagiarism. How about you just say drove me to go online and find...
Okay, I really don't need your line edits.
Then why are you asking me to read it?
Because I need a parent's signature on my reapplication form.
Right, but...
What?
We've been having the conversation about next year, and we feel really good about Brookmore.
Her mom smiles weakly. Lily stares.
He has a friend who's on the board, and they're really very good.
Brookmore is a place for girls with very severe behavioral issues. How is this even part of the conversation?
That's not true.
If I'm not readmitted, then I'm staying local.
Her mom struggles to speak.
We think you do really well in a supportive environment.
Lily wears an incredulous look.
He doesn't want me here.
No, that's not it at all. You know how much effort he puts in every day getting closer to you.
I got admitted into Andover.
You were admitted to Andover because your dad wrote them a check.
Behind Lily, Mark looks over. He slowly walks closer and she keeps her back turned to him.
This is not a conversation. We've already made the down payment.
Mark walks away. Lily wears a stunned expression. She stares at her mother, who anxiously drops her gaze. Entering the garage, Lily passes a classic red sports car and approaches the bicycle propped on the stand. She hesitates, then kneels beside the bike. She turns a lever, adjusting the axle and loosening the front wheel. Lily locks the lever back in place. In the living room, she watches TV with a blank expression. She slowly eats a few peas off a fork. Down the hall behind her, Mark and her mother look over from their own meal. Lily chews slowly as she keeps her gaze fixed ahead. Nighttime. In her dark bedroom, Lily sits on her bed and types on her laptop. She sends a message to Zach reading, "I hear you have pictures of the horse." Leaving the computer behind, she walks to the adjoining room. Brushing her teeth, Lily steps into the bedroom doorway and gazes at the laptop. She steps back into the bathroom. Our view slowly moves closer to the laptop sitting on her bed, facing away. Lily steps back to the doorway. She steps away. Entering her room, she takes a seat on the bed and gazes at the laptop screen. She types. Lily watches the screen. She types again. She stares at the computer. Her lips part as she leans back slightly. Daytime. Mark wears bandages on his face and arm. Lily's mom meets him by the stairs.
I'm fine.
Honey, you can't go in looking like that.
I'm fine.
Let me just fix
it. Are you gonna make me repeat myself?
Don't do
that. Are you gonna make me repeat myself? I said I'm fucking fine.
I was just trying to help.
Do you speak English? Or am I gonna have to stand here all day like a fucking robot repeating myself? I'm fine, I'm fine, I'm fine, I'm fine.
Mark walks away.
Jesus Christ.
Nearby, Lily sits by a windowsill and watches. In Lily's backyard, Amanda moves a large stone pawn on an oversized chessboard. Wearing sunglasses, Lily sits on a bench. Amanda walks to the other side of the board and picks up the large stone knight piece.
I saw the photos.
Amanda slowly lowers the knight onto a space. She stands up straight and adjusts her sunglasses.
Oh.
They look at each other.
You're not gonna say anything?
What do you want me to say?
Lily averts her gaze.
I guess I didn't realize you did it like that.
Well, that's not how I wanted it to go.
Well, what did you want?
Obviously, I wanted to get it done by a vet. He was never gonna walk again. But you know my mom. She's the type of person that gets weepy when she imagines her horse going to sleep and never waking up, and when a weak moral character like that runs your household.
But still, you didn't have to.
Well, if the midazolam hydrochloride had worked like it was supposed to.
What?
The midazolam hydrochloride, if it had worked like it was supposed to, then it just would have been.
Amanda sets a pawn down, then gestures.
Unfortunately, quality control on black market drugs is poor. Honeymooner was going into convulsions. He was bucking hard, and he broke the splint. And then he broke the other leg, too. But you don't want to hear about this.
Lily nods softly and sits upright, facing her friend. Amanda removes her sunglasses and sticks them on the top of her head. She continues playing chess against herself.
At that point, it just became a question of ending it as quickly as possible. And I Googled methods of execution. He didn't have a gun, so that was out. But in Mexico, they use something called a puntilla.
A what?
A puntilla. It's like a curved blade, like an ice pick. You jam it behind the cervical vertebrae and they go limp.
And you had a puntilla?
Kinda.
She takes out one of the stone pawns.
Stop the convulsions, but the problem with puntilla execution is it doesn't actually kill the horse, it just paralyzes them. Obviously, I didn't want that for Honeymooner. So I climbed on top of him. He was on the ground at this point. And I start cutting away the flesh of his neck. The goal was to get to the spine as quickly as possible, and it took some time. The muscle had a lot of gristle in it, and the knife cut dull pretty quickly, but I got there.
Our view closes in on Lily.
And then I just stood up, and I got my foot into a position where I could kick downwards, and...
A glimpse shows Amanda petting the horse. Lily startles.
Sorry.
No, it's,
Amanda watches her friend, then steps away toward the chessboard.
I think it felt right. It was me who did it, after all the years I'd spent with that horse. I just put my head down and looked at it as completing a task.
Lily steps in front of her. Amanda meets her gaze.
I think we should do it.
Amanda stares distantly.
Really?
Lily nods.
Really?
And you're looking at me.
Only because you're the only person here. I do think you'd be good at it, though. I mean, the kind of composure you showed with...
Amanda leaves.
Hey!
Lily follows her.
Hey!
Amanda keeps walking.
Amanda! Amanda, where are you going?
I don't know why you're saying all this now. I think you might be saying it because you're emotional.
Why am I emotional?
I don't know. You just never really tell me anything about your life.
That's not true.
But that doesn't stop you from asking me to kill someone for you.
That's not what I'm asking.
You do realize that I am the very worst person to do this. I'm awaiting trial for animal cruelty. If anything violent happens anywhere near me, I am the first person they will come
after. Okay, I get that.
If we were going to do this, we would both need to be far away with airtight alibis.
Amanda and Lily share a tense gaze. Words appear over black. Chapter 3. In a lobby, a woman wears a skeptical expression.
We are here to visit one of your guests.
She stares at Amanda and Lily.
Name, please.
My name?
The resident's name.
Oh,
Amanda spots an envelope on the reception counter.
That would be...
Ms. Jones?
The woman glances between the teenagers. She motions to the side. Amanda starts away.
Thank you.
Lily follows. The two teens make their way through the nursing home, passing elderly people and a young woman with a clipboard. Amanda leads Lily through a service hallway to a kitchen. A man glances at them as they pass. Walking past shelves with cooking supplies, the teenagers turn a corner into a dishwashing area. They stop and stare at a man washing dishes at a sink. Our view closes in on him, and Tim glances back at the teens with a concerned expression. In his car, Tim counts money.
How'd you find me?
Asked around.
Yes. That is so fucking unprofessional. You know, I wouldn't normally make a sale under these circumstances.
Good thing you need the business.
I don't need the business.
Okay.
This is a temporary gig.
Fun.
I have had to hustle for everything that I have. You don't know where I come from.
Westchester.
Amanda.
Fuck off. You have no idea. Give me 5, max 10 years. I will be running this game. All up the coast, I will be the guy.
Tim smirks at Amanda in the back seat. She stares with a blank expression. His smile fades and he hesitates to speak. He looks at Lily.
You got a creepy friend.
I know.
Are we done here?
You got a gun?
Amanda leans forward. Lily holds her stare on Tim.
Why do you care if I have a gun?
Just curious. If you're planning to run the game in a few years, I'd imagine it might involve, you know, violence.
Was not going to involve business lunches and golf.
So you must have a gun.
None of your fucking business. What, are you trying to get me in trouble?
Daddy doesn't have one.
Yeah, I bet he's got, like, a
spork.
You packing a spork?
Fuck no, I am not packing a spork. What the fuck is wrong with you? Yes, I have a gun.
Multiple guns?
Multiple guns? No, one. One gun. What, am I fucking Rambo?
Do you have it on you?
Why do you care?
He's lying.
Tim mimes a gun at Amanda.
Good.
Why good?
Because then Lily has a business proposition for you.
He glances at Lily, who looks over at him. On the sunny driveway, Tim steps up to Lily's mansion and gazes in awe. A bruise marks his cheek under his eye. He raises his brow as he surveys the stately home. Amanda and Lily walk past in slow motion, climbing the stairs to the front door. Our view pulls away as Tim remains motionless. Inside, the two teenagers walk ahead. Tim follows them and closes the door. Jogging up the steps into the marble foyer, he looks around with wide eyes. He smiles. In a bathroom, Tim stands before the sink. He takes a fancy blue bar of soap from a dish and smells it. In the garage, a close view shows Tim's hand running over the headlight of the classic red sports car. A cross tattoo marks his index finger, and he wears a bulky ring on his pinky. He runs his hand over the vehicle's side mirror. In the living room, Tim gazes at golden angel statues on the base of an ornate clock.
Tim.
What?
So you'll come in through here. You'll break it, use a brick or a heavy stone.
Sure it'll break?
Yeah, a tree branch came through the other one last summer.
Yeah, well, that'll be loud.
Yeah, and that's the point. He'll wake up, and he'll likely come in through here, and then you will...
Tim aims a gun at Amanda. Lily cowers.
Right? Or am I missing something?
No, you got it.
I didn't think you'd bring it here.
Tim aims at Lily, who flinches. He steps to her.
You don't like it?
Please don't point that thing at me.
Is it loaded?
He waves the gun at Lily's face and smirks.
You want to hold it?
No, thanks.
He flips the gun, offering the handle.
Come on.
Lily slowly reaches for the weapon. He pulls it away with a smirk, and she grabs it.
Anyway, you'll shoot, you'll grab some stuff, make it look like a robbery, and then you'll run out the way you came.
I'll go to my car.
Yeah.
Am I gonna trip in one?
There's no reason you'd set one.
Neighbors will call the cops.
I doubt it. There's no one especially close.
You ever heard a gunshot, sweetheart? Plus, sound carries over the water.
Then drive away quickly.
Then drive away quickly. Middle of the night in a quiet neighborhood like this, what am I supposed to get, lost in traffic?
Drive away at a moderate speed without your headlights on. No one will be able to ID your car.
Yeah, and slam into a tree on these windy fucking roads.
I believe in you.
You know what? I don't think you girls are thinking this through.
Well, if you don't want the 100,000.
How do I know you're good for it?
We're good for it.
Tim approaches Lily.
I know you're good for it. But how do I know the fucking swim fan over there isn't gonna have an episode and change your mind?
We're good for it.
He leans close. Amanda stands behind him.
You sure you wanna let this bitch talk you into this?
Do you have it on you?
Yes.
Sure.
Yeah.
Where?
Right here.
Okay, 1 gram or two?
Two.
Okay, that's 120.
Tim spots Amanda holding her phone. He shakes his head and glares at Lily.
Why would you record that? You're gonna blackmail me into killing your stepdad?
No, that's...
Yeah, exactly that. You got it.
Don't drag her into this. And you know what? Don't drag me, because unlike you, we have lives to lead.
Oh, you do?
Yeah. I don't know about her, but I do.
You work in a nursing home. Other than that, you sell drugs to children. That's a life.
Amanda.
Every business starts small.
Oh, really? And what's next? You're clearly only selling to minors because you don't want to get involved with the real
dealers. Hey, you don't know me. You don't know me. Give me a decade. I'm gonna be driving a car just like the one out front. I'm gonna move my family into a neighborhood just like this one. Because I got the drive. Oh, yeah. And the mental toughness.
And the permanent spot on Connecticut's sex offender registry. So I guess the day you move in, you'll have to drive that expensive car, door to door, introducing yourself and trying to convince them that the only reason you had sex with a child is because you were too afraid to talk to anyone your own age.
Tim glares, then tackles Amanda to the floor. She rolls him over and straddles him as they fight for her phone. He rolls her onto her back and snatches the phone away. Lily aims the gun at the back of Tim's head. Amanda stands.
Give me the phone.
You're not gonna use this. Not in this house, not in this neighborhood. Cops will be here in a second.
Give me the phone.
Tim slowly turns to face her. He wears a faint grin.
Even if we were in the middle of nowhere, you wouldn't shoot.
Amanda approaches from behind with a lamp.
Even if no one...
Tim takes the gun.
We'll find out.
Amanda smashes the lamp over his head.
You cannot hesitate.
Lily wears a shocked expression.
The only thing worse than being incompetent or being unkind or being evil is being indecisive.
Amanda yanks the cord from the exposed lamp bulb and the light goes out. In a bathroom, she hurls water into the tub. Tim startles awake. He wears a bloody makeshift bandage on his head. Noticing the teenagers, he lightly touches the back of his head, then looks at his hand.
You did something stupid and you took a head wound. But we've stopped the bleeding and you're in a stable condition.
I have to go to the hospital.
No.
I have to go to the hospital.
Lily throws a pill bottle.
They're my mom's Vicodin from her back surgery.
Take no more than two at a time. Keep it clean and it'll heal up naturally.
Tim hangs his head.
What am I gonna tell my dad?
Why will your dad care?
Because I live with him.
The teenagers share a look.
Wear a hat.
Amanda shows the gun.
We're keeping this, by the way. We'll put it inside the grill.
Tim slowly stands.
The what?
The second grill. It's the one furthest from the house. Mark never uses it.
You can come get it Saturday night.
That's in,
He counts on his fingers.
3 days.
Yeah.
You can't give the fucking hole in my head time to close.
It has to be Saturday.
I'm on vacation with my mom, and Amanda's at a residential psychotherapy program.
If you tell anyone about any of this, or if you don't do your job, we'll send the audio, which we've put online, to the police.
Tim tearfully looks between them. Holding the pill bottle, he shakes his hand.
I'm out. You try anything, you're going to jail.
Sorry, who's going to jail? We're just two minors with incredibly expensive family lawyers.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, if you have one more legal issue, even a minor drug offense, you're getting 15 years.
Amanda holds her stare while Lily's eyes shift. Later, Lily scrubs the carpet. Amanda stands behind her. Wearing gloves, Lily pushes her hair out of her face.
Do you think he's actually going to do it?
He is. Just enjoy your spa weekend. I'll see you when it's done.
Lily stares off, then returns to scrubbing the carpet. Amanda watches her with an emotionless expression.
Do you want, a hug? Or...
Lily knits her brow.
No.
Okay.
Amanda walks away. At a serene and sterile-looking spa, Lily and her mother wear robes as they sit at a long table.
Thank you.
A waitress serves them food.
Thanks.
A couple sits at the far end of the table in the otherwise empty room. The waitress takes their plates away. Lily and her mom unfold napkins on their laps and start eating.
So good.
Lily glances at her mother, then stares down at her plate. Later, someone wearing gloves massages one of Lily's legs. Her other foot sits in pink-tinted water. Lily sits back as she watches with a distant expression. Nighttime. In his bedroom, Mark lies awake on his side. Outside, motion detector lights hang near a brick wall. The lights flash on. The lights shut off. A close view shows someone opening a grill, revealing the gun inside. In his room, Mark stares ahead dully. His eyes shift as a light shines on outside. Mark turns and partially sits up. He gazes toward the light. Wearing a robe, Mark slowly walks past a framed painting in a hallway. He turns a corner into the marble foyer and approaches the back door. He gazes out. As he turns and starts away, the light outside shines on again. He stops and looks back at the door. Stepping to the side, Mark grabs a poker beside a fireplace. He approaches the door and stares outside. The light shuts off. A view from the dark yard shows Mark gazing out through the door. In the spa, Lily sits with her eyes closed. She opens her eyes and watches someone paint her toenails with a long paintbrush. Wearing an employee uniform, Mark glances up from painting. Lily stares anxiously. Now, a female worker sits in Mark's place. Lily's expression calms as she closes her eyes. In the spa lobby, Lily gazes off distantly. Looking up, her eyes widen. Mark stands at the spa's entrance. He brings a finger to his mouth and sneaks up on Lily's mom. He slowly brings his hands around her head to cover her eyes. Lily stares.
Oh my God. What are you doing?
I thought I'd drive in, save you the train ride.
In her backyard, Lily eyes the empty grill as she holds the cover open. She slams the grill shut, then hurries away. Sitting in the kitchen, Amanda watches Lily search drawers.
Fucking coward. No, he's probably on his way to the police right now.
He won't.
You don't know that.
He doesn't want to get himself involved in any legal trouble.
Well, then he'll come after us. I mean, he took his gun back.
He has nothing to gain in doing that. He'll leave us alone, and we'll leave him alone.
If he doesn't deserve that.
So what, you want us to track him down and kill him too? Let's just murder half of Connecticut.
Lily lights and smokes a cigarette. She nods.
We'll do it ourselves.
I don't think you're in the right mindset to be planning this.
What kind of mindset am I in?
Lighting a cigarette indoors. That kind of mindset.
Oh, is this your house? Or is this my house?
I'm just saying that if we're gonna do this, it's because it's the right thing to do. Not because you're upset and you're going through a hard time.
What kind of hard time am I going through?
I mean, everything.
Everything? What is everything? My life is fine right now.
I mean, you get expelled from Andover. And you lied to me about your internship.
Lily stares at her friend. Amanda glances off.
Is that Mark?
Lily follows her gaze. Amanda stands and looks at her with a hint of concern. A view from an upstairs window shows Mark sitting in his car out front. Amanda runs up to the window as he exits the vehicle. She runs off. Returning to the kitchen, Amanda finds Lily holding a large knife.
What is this?
Mark steps through the front door. He crosses through the foyer and walks down a hallway toward the kitchen. As he passes a doorway, our view turns to reveal Amanda holding the knife in a room adjacent to the kitchen. She stands hidden with her back pressed to the wall. Mark enters the kitchen and stares off. He approaches Lily, who holds a lit cigarette. Mark grabs her wrist and takes it from her.
Where'd you get these?
He puts it out in the sink.
A store.
Is this a thing you do now? You a smoker?
They stand facing away from each other.
If my dad found me smoking in his house, I would have gotten the buckle into the belt.
Is that what you want to do?
Mark shakes his head and goes to the fridge.
Just throw the pack out. I won't tell your mother.
Tell her.
She doesn't need one more thing to make her anxious, which you'd know if you bothered.
Leave her.
Mark turns to face the teenager.
What's that?
If you want what's best for her, leave her.
You couldn't possibly understand someone else's point of view, could you? Not mine, not your friends, definitely not your mom's.
Fuck you.
Because in your brain, all these people are just little offshoots of your consciousness. We're all your maids, aren't we? Your cleaning ladies, your personal trainers.
He steps closer to her.
You know what? Put all the shit in your lungs that you want. We need to stop protecting you. Life needs to knock you around a little.
Her eyes well with tears.
Oh, and the only reason that I'm still sending you to Brookmore is that I paid in full. After that, you're off my payroll. Princess.
Mark gives a curt bow and leaves, passing the doorway to the other room. Amanda stares off and goes into the kitchen. She passes Lily and puts the knife away.
You didn't do anything.
You were never unsafe.
So you're okay with him talking to me like that?
He's a cock. Is that new information for us? Honestly, he's not even that off base. I mean, empathy isn't your strong suit. But you know that. You're great in other ways.
Tears run down Lily's face, and she turns away.
Hey, there you go.
What?
The technique you've been practicing.
I'm not using the technique, Amanda. Hey, can I ask you something?
Yeah.
Do you remember that time in 9th grade when we were driving home from my dad's funeral and you were holding me and we were crying?
Yeah.
Were you using the technique?
Yeah. That was good, wasn't it?
Words appear over black. Chapter 4. On a tennis court, a machine launches tennis balls at Mark. He swats them back over the net. He hits a ball hard and it flies up. The machine continues firing. Mark turns around. Glaring, he steps away from the court, ignoring the tennis balls. On a balcony, Lily watches him. Mark turns and swings at a ball, but misses. He hits another. At night, lamplight glows through the windows of the mansion. Amanda walks toward the house with her backpack slung over one shoulder. A Shirley Temple movie plays on the living room TV. On the couch, the two teenagers hold drinks.
It's funny to think how everyone in this movie is dead now. We're like, Millie's very old. He's probably got a motor scooter now. She pees in a bag. She's an obligation to her family. They take turns visiting her and when they sit next to her bed and this movie comes on the TV, she goes, my, what a pretty young thing.
You're bumming me out.
Lily glances at Amanda, then turns back to the TV.
You okay?
I'm fine. Why?
3 days of radio silence and then, like, very urgent text messages. If you want to get back to the plan, we can just...
I don't want to talk about the plan.
Amanda eyes her friend. She looks at the ceiling, then back at Lily. Absently watching the TV, Amanda sips her drink through a straw.
Do you remember that stuff you were saying to Tim the other day?
What stuff?
The stuff about how his life isn't worth living.
Yeah?
Do you ever ask that question about yourself?
Well, like any of our lives? Like, in a philosophical sense?
Like, your life in particular? I just mean, like, if you can't feel anything, like even happiness or...
Amanda gives her a blank expression and turns back to the TV. Lily regards her friend sadly.
I'm so sorry. I didn't mean that.
No, it's... It's okay, I just never really thought about it.
Holding her gaze on the TV, Amanda bites her lip. Lily stares ahead.
Stop.
Lowering her drink, Amanda looks at her friend.
I drugged it.
You what?
I put Rohypnol in it.
Amanda stares at her blankly.
You roofied me?
Yeah.
Why?
Because I was gonna knock you out and then go upstairs. And afterwards, I was gonna put the knife in your hand and make it look like you'd...
Lily avoids Amanda's stare. She sits closer and faces her.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Okay, I don't even know what I was thinking. Just give me the glass and I'll throw them both away.
Amanda gulps the drink.
Stop. Stop it.
Finishing it, she sets down the glass and slumps back on the couch.
Oh. What did you do?
I drank it.
I told you not to. You need to go throw up. Come on.
Ugh, no thanks.
Do you know what this does?
Oh, yeah, and I'm... Oh, God, you really dosed this motherfucker up.
Why would you do that?
Amanda looks at Lily with a blank expression.
I live a meaningless life.
No. You're a great friend.
Amanda leans her head on her arm.
Emma. I'm a skilled imitator.
Nodding, she shuts her eyes.
Hey. Hey!
Lily jostles her. She sits back and stares at her unconscious friend. Standing, Lily faces the TV. She sits back down on the couch and hangs her head. She looks over at Amanda, who sleeps leaning to one side. Lily faces forward. She slowly rises to her feet. Rounding the couch, Lily goes into the dark kitchen. Our view stays on Amanda, who moves her head slightly but remains asleep. The TV light flickers over her. Our view slowly draws closer to Amanda as Lily leaves the kitchen and walks away. Wearing yellow kitchen gloves, she climbs the stairs. Our view continues to close in on Amanda. Amanda's chest gently rises and falls as she sleeps. Our view creeps closer to her. Lily returns and steps in front of the couch facing Amanda. Blood stains her white top and yellow kitchen gloves. She holds a bloody, dripping knife.
Kneeling, Lily wipes her blood-soaked gloves on Amanda's arms and shirt. Lily walks away around the back of the couch. She stops and looks back at her sleeping friend, whose head lies at an angle. Lily walks back around to Amanda. She gets on the couch next to her and tentatively reaches out. Lily puts her gloved hands on Amanda's chin and head. She gently tilts Amanda's head upright. Her glove leaves spots of blood on Amanda's chin. Lily gently takes one of Amanda's hands. Lying down, she rests her head on Amanda's thigh and drapes Amanda's arm around her. Her lip quivers as she holds her friend's hand. A tear falls from her eye. Lily shakes with sobs. At a valet station, Tim wears a uniform and a bandage on his hand. He smokes a cigarette. Looking off, he takes on a concerned expression. He walks away as Lily exits a car.
Tim?
He stops. Wearing a nice dress, Lily approaches and removes her sunglasses.
Moving up in the world.
He gives her a confused look.
What are you doing here?
Lunch meeting. It's only weird if you make it weird.
So what's your meeting?
College interview, actually.
They take you out to lunches for those?
They don't usually, but the guy interviewing me was actually a friend of my stepdad's.
I heard about that. I'm sorry for your loss.
It's been a tough time for my family, but we're pushing through it.
Tim and Lily share a tense gaze.
I think this is for you.
He glances down. Taking her key, Tim smirks and waves it. He steps to the car. Facing away, Lily's mouth parts slightly. She turns to him.
Just so you know.
He looks back at her. Lily approaches with a serious expression.
I'm glad you didn't show up.
Okay.
I wanted to forget all about it, but she felt differently.
Did you talk to her after that?
Lily shakes her head.
She did write me a letter, though. About a week ago.
In a long hallway, a guard walks with a nurse.
What did it say?
Amanda passes by them in slow motion.
Things actually aren't bad here. Food's okay. Staff are generally nice people.
Patients paint.
The therapists have been working with me to fill in my memories of those missing hours. And it's kind of a fun exercise. I can tell them fucking anything and they'll just write it down and nod.
Amanda paints a horse. Later, the patients knit.
In other news, the old medication of the month club is back in full swing. And the latest ones are making me sleep 14 hours a day and dream constantly. You're in a lot of them.
Amanda's knitting stretches to a nearby chair.
And one of the recurring ones, we're in your living room and I've just drank your drug screwdriver. And you're screaming, asking me why I did it. Asking me why I have a horse's head instead of my face. And I want to tell you that I don't. But I turn to you and I open my mouth and all that comes out is...
A doctor checks Amanda's mouth.
And then there's this other recurring dream that doesn't involve you at all. And it goes like this.
At night, Amanda goes to her room.
I'm Honeymooner. And I'm dying.
She takes medication.
And I rise out of my body. And I'm staring down at our whole suburb. And time is speeding up. And I see generations of people coming and going and building bigger houses. And then eventually, the people start spending more and more of their time staring at their smartphones. And soon enough, they're forgetting to clean their houses, or mow their lawns, or eat. And eventually, all the houses rot and collapse, and the people disappear, vanishing completely into the internet. And then, and this is the really beautiful part, the horses take over. And the whole suburb is just beautiful thoroughbred stallions with no owners and no memory of owners and no way of knowing how expensive they are. Just mating and galloping through the ruins.
Amanda gazes at a photo of her and Lily riding horses as children. She smiles. At the valet station.
What'd it say?
Lily gives Tim a blank stare.
I don't know. I just threw it away.
She turns away. Cut to black. Thoroughbreds. Credits appear. In memory of Anton Yelchin. Written and directed by Corey Finley. Produced by Kevin J. Walsh, Nat Faxon, Jim Rash. Produced by Andrew Duncan, Alex Sachs. Executive producers Ted Diker, Ryan Stowell, Declan Baldwin. Associate producer, Danny Johnson. Director of photography, Lyle Vincent. Production designer, Jeremy Woodward. Edited by Louise Ford. Olivia Cook. Anya Taylor-Joy. Anton Yelchin. Paul Sparks. Francie Swift. Casting by Douglas Abel, CSA, Stephanie Holbrook, CSA. Costume designer, Alex Beauvaird. Music supervisor, Susan Jacobs. Music by Eric Friedlander. A Corey Finley film. Credits roll. Unit production manager, Ted Diker. First assistant director, Mike Meter. Second assistant director, Tina Havelis. Co-producer, Leah Taylor-Roy. Cast, Olivia Cook as Amanda, Anya Taylor-Joy as Lily, Anton Yelchin as Tim, Paul Sparks as Mark, Francie Swift as Cynthia, Kaylee Vernoff as Karen, Svetlana Orlova as Cleaning Lady, Alyssa Fishenden as Jessica, Jackson Damon as Phil, James Haddad as Michael, Nolan Ball as Delivery Guy, Celeste D'Oliva as Receptionist. Stunt Coordinator, Paul Marini, Water Safety Diver, Mark Phillips, Camera Operator, Jonathan Beatty, First assistant camera, Nolan Ball. Second assistant camera, Jason Vignola. Music, Sila. Written by Ian Campo, Timothy Hill, Aaron Thomas, and Tanya Tagak Gillis. Performed by A Tribe Called Red featuring Tanya Tagak. All the Things, written by Wendy Wang and Evan Voitas, performed by The Sweet Hurt. Dancing in the Moonlight, written by Sherman Kelly, performed by King Harvest. Chameleon, written by Kim Petras, Lauren Vogel, E-Rock, Alyssa Swade, David Campbell, and Manifesto, performed by Rome Will Burn. Ellen's Jessing III, Ave Maria. Ellen's Jessing III, D, 839. Hymn an die Jungfrau, written by Franz Schubert, performed by Erwin Gage and Sabella Rubens. Meditation Memory, written and performed by Brian Lurie. Ce n'est pas moi, written by Tanis Chalopin, performed by Tanis. Uja, written and performed by Tanya Tagak, Jesse Zubo, Gene Martin, and Michael Edwards. The persons and events in this motion picture are fictitious. Any similarity to actual persons or events is unintentional. Ownership of this motion picture is protected by copyright and other applicable laws. Any unauthorized duplication, distribution, or exhibition may result in civil liability and criminal prosecution. Copyright 2017 Thoroughbred, 2016 LLC, all rights reserved. Thoroughbreds. This film has been described by the Media Access Group at WGBH with funding from Focus Features, read by Inger Tudor. For more information about motion picture access, visit our website at access.wgbh.org.